This is a podcast by The Straits Times.
Hi, welcome to Health Check. This is Joyce Teo. So in this episode, we are going to look at the importance of exercise and how much of it is enough. This doesn't sound new, but if you have just watched the popular Netflix documentary series, Live to 100 Secrets of the Blue Zones, which are sports where people tend to live to around 100, you will know that the world's longest-lived people do not exercise. They don't go running in the stadium, nor do they go for a workout in the gym. So we all know that exercise is good for us. But just how much of it is necessary when it comes to weight loss, weight management, and just to maintain our health? Is it okay to focus on resistance training and not cardiovascular exercises like running? And what's the minimum amount of exercise that you can do to obtain any health benefits? To answer these questions and more is Clinical Assistant Professor Ivy Lim, a senior consultant and the chief of the Department of Sport and Exercise Medicine at Changi General Hospital. Hi, Dr. Lim. Welcome to Health Check.
Hi.
So can you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and, you know, what you do at CGH?
Okay, so I'm Dr. Ivy Lim. I'm a senior consultant in the Department of Sport and Exercise Medicine in Changi General Hospital. So other than sports persons, whether they are recreational or competitive athletes, we also see a group of patients who have, say, musculoskeletal issues that prevent them from maintaining their physical activity and try to get them back via means such as physiotherapy, for example, to being physically active. We also work on patients by incorporating physical activity in their management. So for, say, patients with certain conditions, we guide them through a physical activity prescriptions and to help them to become more physically active.
I see. So, you know, earlier I mentioned in the introduction that there's this Blue Zones series, right? And it says that the world's longest lived people, they don't exercise. So, you know, from like normal people who don't really exercise regularly, do you really need to exercise, you know, just to maintain your weight and be healthy?
We think that exercise and physical activity are the same thing, but actually it's not. So exercise is kind of like a subset of physical activity where we talk about structured, you know, movement. But in our day-to-day, when we are just walking around, climbing stairs, that's also actually being physically active, doing housework, even going, you know, walking to the MRT station, doing my marketing. All these are actually physical activity. So I think that's really the important part, that we should be physical activity, whether it's through your daily activities or whether it's through structured exercise programs.
But is that enough?
In general, you know, we talk about physical activity guidelines. We talk about having, say, 150 minutes to 300 minutes per week of moderate intensity aerobic physical activity. So aerobic physical activity means that I'm using big muscle groups. There's a little bit of increase in heart rate. When I talk about moderate intensity, easy way to test it is that, say, I'm with somebody. You know, we use the talk test. So moderate intensity means I still can talk to that person, but I don't have enough breath to sing a song.
But that sounds like doing marketing wouldn't fit into it, right?
Okay, so something is always better than nothing. Sometimes we get a bit worried that, oh, I can't reach it. And then we are fearful to start moving. But really, when we talk about marketing, sometimes, okay, if I push a little bit harder, I walk a little bit faster, I can increase the intensity of my physical activity. And even if I don't, the good news is that every little bit counts. And the other thing that, you know, we also talk about in the guidelines is this thing called reducing sedentary behavior. So reducing sedentary behavior is actually an independent risk factor for mortality, for having complications from medical conditions, for example. So even if I can't do my physical activity in moderate intensity, I would want to actually reduce that prolonged sitting, which I think a lot of us do.
Right, for sure. That's interesting. We'll get to the part where, you know, how much exercise do we actually need, right? But before that, let's talk about, you know, the need to exercise for weight loss. So we mentioned the need to be physically active, right, to be healthy. But what if you want to lose some weight, you know, if you're, you know, maybe overindulge in festive eating this Chinese New Year?
If we are talking about weight loss, both the diet component as well as the exercise or physical activity component are important. So in fact, you know, we do have a study that was actually published last year in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. So the authors looked at various studies and they did a meta-analysis which showed that exercise appears to actually reduce visceral fat in overweight and obese adults in the dose-response relationship. What this means is, you know, when we talk about exercising or when we talk about losing fat, we have to lose the fat around our organs because that's the one that really sort of harms us like, in terms of health. And when we do exercise, the more we do, the more we seem to be able to lose this fat. Whereas this dose-response relationship is not really seen when people, you know, restrict their calorie intake or go on diets. This may be due to limited data, but that being said, when you just diet, you know, and you lose weight from there, it may not be losing fat. It may also be losing muscle mass. Mm-hmm. And that actually results in a decrease in the body's metabolism. So when I'm sitting down I'm moving, I'm actually burning less than if I have a higher metabolism.
Right. So you need to keep it going in that sense.
Yeah. And there have also been studies that show that, you know, physical training on its own actually rarely achieves more than 3% of the initial weight loss. Whereas if you combine diet and physical activity, you can actually potentially result in 5 to 15% of weight loss. So usually we'll advise both.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking about weight loss, we usually advise more, which is around 300 to 420 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic physical activity per week.
Right. And that's for people who need to lose their weight, not for people who already have a normal BMI or
Being said, I think as a start, people who need to lose weight also need the health benefits of exercise. Again, something is better than nothing.
Right.
You know, if I can't reach that 300 or to 420, I should at least aim to get maybe the 150 in for a start and then gradually build up. So again, remember, your every bit counts. I walk 1 minute, moderate intensity also count.
Oh, right. Yeah. I keep thinking of the gym thing. I'm like, oh my God, that's mind-boggling.
So that's why if you do, you know, I just walk 20 minutes fast to the MRT station, for example.
300 to 420 minutes a week sounds like a lot. Is that safe for everybody who wants to lose weight?
I would say that we always take it as a case-by-case basis, you know. So the key really is that we should be gradually building up to that intensity, to that duration, sorry. If you think about it, 300 is 5 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 420 minutes is 7 hours a week or an hour a day.
Mm.
So if I say spend 15 minutes brisk walking to get my lunch or, you know, instead of waiting for the lift, I just walk briskly to the escalator or even up the stairs. All these little bits count. Mm. Yeah. So even if you are doing 1 minute, that 1 minute can be included into this total.
Okay, that's less scary. It's not like going to the gym for full 7 hours a week.
No. In fact, you can do it anywhere, everywhere. We have people doing it at home.
Mm. And that has to be coupled with adequate nutrition, right? You were saying.
Yes.
Okay, let's get to some of the tips, right? So I've spoken to some people and they were telling me that when you're older, especially, you need to do resistance training. And then maybe when you're young, you should do a lot of aerobics training. So, you know, can we focus on, say, just cardiovascular exercise and skip resistance training or vice versa?
So I think in terms of weight loss, you know, resistance training may be useful in increasing resting metabolic rate and has shown other benefits of health. But on its own, it does not appear to result in very significant weight loss. So maybe we get a maximum of 1% of initial weight loss expected if you're just purely doing resistance training. In fact, if you do resistance training without diet control, you may actually result in weight gain. But that may be because, you know, we increase the muscle mass. Muscle is 3 times as heavy as fat.
Right.
Yeah. So I think when we talk about resistance exercise or even weight loss, we are not just purely looking at the numbers. We are looking at general health. And if you look at the physical activity guidelines, that we do actually also advocate resistance exercise or resistance training 2 times a week at least, you know, with major muscle groups. And this can be bodyweight exercises, just doing wall squats, you know, or tiptoes. Those are actually already resistance exercises. So we don't really need to go to the gym, you know, go and buy dumbbells and all that.
So you should actually do both. To me, it sounds a bit sad, right? If you spend a lot of effort doing your resistance training, just lose weight. And you lose like 1%, you were saying.
Yes. But then most people actually come back and say, I'm now, you know, more muscle. So they get other benefits, but just not at the numbers themselves, not at the weighing scale.
Right. And then since we were talking about that, right, I wanted to ask you about spot reduction because, you know, many people, they're not keen on a full body workout or just going running for like an hour, but they may want to do only specific exercises just to target a part of their body. Like, for instance, doing sit-ups to lose weight around the tummy, right? I mean, is that possible at all?
I would say that that's probably not possible. If you have a layer of fat, you know, then I would advise that we do more aerobic or cardiovascular physical activity, reduce that fat. And then sometimes after that, then we may sort of work on specific exercises to build muscle mass in specific parts. And therefore, that looks a little bit more like focus reduction. Although if you just work on the muscle strengthening and there's still a layer of fat, I think the effect may not be so obvious.
I see. So it's not quite possible. If you don't do exercise for the whole body, right, basically.
Yes.
So you do need to run, swim, walk, you know, engage in all those physical activity that you talked about at the same time. Yeah.
May not need to run. You can even do brisk walking.
Is that healthy, actually, brisk walking? I mean, does it affect the knees, actually?
You know, we always worry about, like, okay, say, stairs, running, whether they cause knee problems.
Yes.
General rule of thumb is that if, you know, we have no pain or symptoms like swelling, for example, and we do the exercise gradually, building up such that the body adapts to the new load, it's okay. In fact, you know, if let's say you have no issues, running can even potentially be protective because you build muscle and that puts less load on the joint.
You lose weight,
that puts less load on the joint as well. However, I think problems come when people try to do too much at one go. So if I've not been moving and then I suddenly go and do 20 flights of, you know, 20 stories every day, the load may be more than what the body is used to. And therefore, things happen. And sometimes people ignore their pain. They continue pushing through pain and swelling. And that's when you can start getting structural injuries.
I see. So at which point would you know that something is happening? Like, should you stop when you feel a little ache in your knees, for instance? I mean, if you start to do all this stair climbing and brisk walking.
Yeah, so I think if we are not very used to moving, you may find, say, certain muscle aches. And if it's just soreness kind of sensation, lasting maybe 1-2 days, then I think that's fine. If we do get sharp pains, swelling, and the pain sort of builds up across sessions. So maybe I do today, I feel like, okay, then the next time I do, oh, it seems to be coming on faster, lasting longer. Then I would advise, you know, we may need to seek medical attention. And we usually get our physiotherapists to help us get the individual back to physical activity safely.
I see. So let's talk a little bit about the stairs and the brisk walking, right? Because, you know, with Healthy SG and people focusing on preventive health, we're encouraged to, you know, use the stairs and walk, right? But maybe for older people, they might be worried that their knees may not be able to take it. So would you have any advice? Maybe do less first or stop when you feel an ache in your knees?
Yes, I think those are good points. I would say usually, you know, test it out a little bit. You can try, say, one story, do it slowly at your own pace and then see how that feels. A big part of it is also in a way sort of trying to incorporate a little bit of movement in your day-to-day. People always say they have no time, but actually if you just even walk to the escalator and take the escalator or walk slowly up the stairs, you may actually save more time than waiting for that lift to come.
That's true. Exercise actually doesn't take that very long.
Yeah.
I realized that when I did my 2-minute jog. I'm out of breath. 2 minutes.
Yep.
Right. So let's get to the guidelines, because in Singapore and around the world, right, current guidelines specify that adults should engage in moderate intensity aerobic physical activity of between 150 and 300 minutes per week to obtain substantial health benefit.
Yep.
So earlier you mentioned that doing any amount of physical activity is better than none, right? But is there a minimum amount that one can do in order to see substantial health benefit?
Yep. So when we talk about intensity, it's quite subjective. So really, you know, you realize, let's say people who run a lot, a slow jog to them may be like a sprint for the general rest of us. So I like to use the talk test because it's the easiest. So when we talk about moderate intensity, we are talking about, say, if you're exercising or moving with somebody, you know, you still can talk to that person, although you probably don't have enough breath to sort of sing a song. So there's a little bit of that increase in heart rate. Versus, let's say, if you go higher intensity, then that's really when, you know, I can only maybe say short phrases, my heart rate goes up higher. Yeah. So I like to use the talk test as the gauge. Then you can gauge, you know, what is that speed that I'm brisk walking, I'm reaching that. And then as you get fitter, you may realize, hey, actually I'm walking faster now.
Right. So let's say for somebody who's using their phone to monitor their heart rate, what is a good gauge, a good range to look at?
Well, I would say that for moderate intensity, we are not very accurate, but you can potentially use 220 minus your age. And then I would say moderate, we will probably be targeting, say, 50 to 75% of that heart rate, the maximum heart rate we are looking at.
But for moderate intensity, it sounds like if you're doing hard housework, it's hard to get to that kind of intensity, isn't it?
Actually, it depends, you know. If you are mopping the floor and walking a little bit faster, and then you are...
mop really fast.
Yeah, well...
Or vacuum really fast, okay.
Yeah, sometimes we say use fewer robots.
Which is the norm, I mean, the trend nowadays. Okay, I was just thinking for some people who may not want to spend so much time on exercising, right? So what's the very minimum amount of exercise that one can do for health benefits? Some people like to do high-intensity interval training, right? You go for a class, but what if you want to do it at home by yourself and just maybe 5 minutes a day? Does it work?
High-intensity interval training does have its own health benefits. If the individual doesn't have any medical conditions or musculoskeletal conditions that we are concerned about and they gradually do it, then I think that's fine. Sometimes high-intensity, because of the intensity, the body may not be used to that. They may get some issues as well. So I think it's really on a case-by-case basis. So usually when I talk about high intensity, you know, each spurt may be like in minutes. So now we actually have even this concept of sprint interval training, whereby, you know, you can even say do cycling to your best effort for 30 seconds, do it 3 times a day. And even that, you know, has been shown to have health benefits. So internally, we have in CGH, we did a staff wellness program, which included this, what we call spring exercise snacks. So we had people working on the bicycle for 30 seconds, 3 times a day. And the results showed that half of them actually lost a modest amount of weight. And that the participants actually also reported increased muscle strength and stamina.
I see. You mentioned 3 times a day.
3 times a day, 30 seconds each time. So it's like going for a toilet break.
Yeah.
Or a water break.
But does it work if you do it, say, 3 times a week?
I think it may, but we don't have the evidence for that. I would still say something is always better than nothing.
Right. Right. But if you want to lose weight, maybe you have to do a bit more.
Yes. In fact, I would say if you're talking about just using sprint interval training to lose weight for the pure purpose of losing weight, the effects are modest, but definitely the health benefits are there.
Right. Okay, that's good. So, Doc, do you have any tips for people who haven't been exercising and they're thinking of like starting to exercise? I think there are some people who may decide to do like a half marathon or marathon after not exercising regularly for like 10, 20 years.
So for people who are embarking on, you know, something that's new, I would advise doing a self-administered screening questionnaire. For example, what we have is a Get Active questionnaire. So that gives you a bit of an idea as to, okay, if I have this or I'm on certain medicines, can I start exercising? And do I need to see a doctor or am I okay to start? We tend to be, you know, thinking about, okay, I used to do this 10 years ago. I can start with that now. But as we know, things change over time. Mm. So I usually advise really starting low, getting the body used to this new regime. And gradually, as the body adapts, we build up on the volume or the intensity or the duration of the physical activity.
That's good advice. So if you want to, say, start climbing like 10 flights of stairs suddenly after not exercising for a while, you should start with maybe 2 or 3?
Yeah.
So, would you say that?
Yeah. So in fact, I mean, if we can incorporate into our daily lifestyle, you may find that that's already a good start.
And then also you mentioned all the physical activity, the housework that people do, right? So just walk a little faster when you're going to the market, mop a little faster.
That's right. And I think the other thing also to be aware is that, you know, conditions change. So sometimes we have people who do screening and they are fine. But we need to appreciate also that, say, on that day, if I'm not feeling well, I need to know my limits. I need to know when to stop. And that's actually very important.
And in between the sessions as well, right? We should have ample rest, I guess.
Yes, I think sleep, nutrition, all these come into the picture as well.
Right, right. So if you haven't been exercising for a while, don't suddenly push yourself every day. So you should also take breaks. Make sure you have enough sleep and eat well.
Yeah. If I push myself every day, I probably won't be like pushing myself to my max every day. So some people will do something that's just maybe moderate intensity or even like light intensity, but get that habit in first, then build up after that.
Right. It's good advice. Thanks a lot for your time, Dr. Lim.
Thank you.
Well, that's a wrap for Health Check, a podcast series by The Straits Times. I'm Joyce Teo. Don't forget to share this podcast episode with your friends and family. If you'd like to read my articles, we have links in the podcast text description below.
Send your feedback to podcast@sbh.com.sg. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or within our Straits Times app. Thanks for listening.